Over the beginning of the visit with blacksmith Bob Bob Haviland. I think this must have been Tuesday the 7th of May, 74. And he talks about land, this land that he wants to get, 150 acres, and he has to have a buyer for most of it, and then he can manage a little fringe of it, maybe 30 acres. And then the horses that he has to work with.
Granddad used to get mad because they wouldn't give him anything. He'd take I'll take him back out to the barn and let him rot. He said, they won't pay for it. They can let, nobody's going to get it. That's just exactly what he did. He cared about that 600 old kid, and that's where they'd lay. He'd get mad
thing?
About it.
Yeah.
And the thing had to be worth something. They might. I guess it just fell at the heart fine. Was run. He never did and never touched again, but he just parked there. He said he wasn't going to give it to us.
Well, my old guy.
He didn't even drag it up.
Mm-hmm. This one boy asked me about it. Well, I don't know whether he just wants to think about it, whether he wants to test it.
You keep moving, don't you?
Well, I'm in the same house. I moved there about 3 months ago. That same phone number. People always ask me, stuff, so I thought, well, I'll just start carrying a lot of it. Well, I keep, some of it I keep in the barn there in the office room, and the rest of it I keep in the truck. So I have it. Yeah, it does a little bit now and then. Mainly it's more for the convenience of people over my stuff. Because I don't, well, I'll tell you, there is a whale of a market on that saddle. If I sell a saddle, I'll do pretty good. If you don't sell me, the road to me. That haulage and stuff, all I make is $1.50 on each thing. And yet I'll still be 25-30% under what they're selling it for me. So.
Well, today,
when you take a saddle that sells $400 in the store, you can probably buy that for $250. So if they sell it, they made $150 on that $400 saddle. More or less, no change. And there's some reins up there, they make three times, I know what they take for, over three times what they take for them. Because I went in to get some, that's the reason I went on up there. Because I wanted to get some stuff myself. And they were just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Some of it was just, I just wouldn't buy it. That's all there was to it. That was too ridiculous.
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, maybe they do sell for a pretty good price, but when I got up there at the factory, there's some these rayon reins, braided reins, and I like them. That's the only thing I use. They're $9 or something up here in the store. And I believe in a person being able to show profit. That's what they're in business for. But some of it's just going a little too far. I buy them from the factory. And it costs me $3. Now, ain't no sense in marking them up over three times. But, I mean, I can see, usually I figure about 50% over cost is a reasonable profit. On the other hand, you take down my unpaid fee to do a business on 10% cost plus 10. Well, if you're doing a big enough volume business, I guess they can get by with it, but normally those people look like me, they go out of business in a hurry. Or maybe they bought bankrupt stock.
Yeah.
And it's like, so you got a trailer, travel trailer wants to sell. On the lot itself for $15.50. Not 15 foot, 8 foot. So we can buy stock for $2. And the dealer cost is $13.50. The dealer ordered 38 of them, and his cost up at the factory is $1,350 a piece. And 38 for 38. I can buy this one for 12 less than the dealer cost. Yeah. I'd do all right there. But, dealer marks it up $300. And that's what. A little over 25%. Well, dealer bought 38 of them, gave the company a check for $51,000, and the check wasn't any good. So, in fact, they had the lawyer get them back for them. Instead of paying them, they just gave them one. And brand, thank them, they didn't buy it less than what the dealer thought the dealer was buying.
So, what do you do
with the driver? I don't know. That's why I say the only thing I'd do is take and use it for trading.
What, how big is it?
It's 15 or 16 feet long. No, I don't know. I haven't even looked at it. The lawyer just told me about it. When he got it, then he doesn't need it. He really needs the money to get the money trailer. He really would rather have the money than the trailer for his fees. He gave me a trailer.
Have you run anything like that?
What would you do with it?
Well,
oh, you said you'd trade
them. Trade it out. Sell it. Somebody run.
I was, I was looking at some of those travel trips, and
Well, there hadn't been, but there's getting back to be a pretty good man thing right now.
And then I looked at two or three of them, and they are rigged up the way you don't have the space.
No, the only thing they're for is instead of renting motel and put into a camp park. I mean, just use it to sleep in and cook your meals and all that. But you're really out on the road and you're outside, then you're going off, and you know, actually you might park it here and you'd be there at night. But you're off vacation. It's not a thing to live in.
Can you park them by any place and stay just overnight?
Well, they've got this camper park. Parks are a big thing.
Yeah.
You can go in there, park a trailer, fish, camp. If you got a camper on the truck, you can use that.
These fellows out, they have all the facilities, they don't have to plug them in anywhere?
Well, you plug up to the electric and the water. Of course, most of them have some storage, water storage. You know,
but you have to plug into the electric.
Right. And usually you plug into the water. So they
really aren't self-sufficient. They have to. If you had one out here, you'd have to still have electricity.
Well,
oh, sure.
I see.
There was always camper parks. You always have your cord and you just plug it in, and your hose, you push it on, and most of them have their own bathroom facilities in them. And what have you. Of course, some of them don't. That one's a little higher when you have all that. But they're self-contained. You just stop every now and then at a station and drain your tank. And so they're real nice. If I was going to take a vacation, especially when some kids, like, that's the way I'd go. That's the only way I'd go.
Travel?
Yes, sir.
You couldn't get any kids.
Well, this is my fleet six.
You mean a 16-foot? I don't see that.
Usually you've got one bed and then you've got a couch that'll open up, and then the dining area that the table drops down and the seats drop down to make a bed out of that. It's strictly just what it says, a camp trailer. It's not as comfortable as living at home, but then again, it's not as bad as having a pitch and tent. Like I say, when you pull in a place, you unhook it, plug it in, and everything's done.
Well,
everything's
you've got
there.
A stove and a refrigerator.
Right. And bathroom facilities there, so they're real popular. That plus the other thing that's real popular is motorhomes. They're really a trailer with a motor in it.
Yeah,
the steering wheel's not on that stuff.
You're getting money with that.
Man, you do. I mean, they start around $8,000.
Yeah.
Unless you get one of the real small ones. Now, I saw a fellow up there in Gainesville had a topper. You know, just pick up the topper that they sleep fishing in. And it came up over the cab, and the two could sleep up there, and somehow they could break the table and all down and have the cushions and all and make room for six people sleeping on the back of the pickup. If they can do that, well, I might have that travel trailer. In fact, it may have in one end, they have two boats going over the other.
Yeah.
I haven't gone out to see them. I'm thinking about going out there too. I say it's not something that you live in. It's something that you would travel around and camp. I don't even know where he is. If he's got it at his house, it's up on the Waldo Road. And just off the Waldo Road, up there beside a firebox. I don't know whether he's at home or not. I'll call him. Say, well, I've got to get on the road. I'll
Von says that we're just going to have to let these seats go out.
But at the point, you see, you got your founder. Laminitis is what founder is. You got two effects from it. One is that the supporting tissue between the hoof wall and the inner part grow. It's an inflammation of that area and causes it to grow and sends the hoof wall out. Now, then the other thing, and there's not much you can do with it, is that the coffin bone rotates downward on the inside of the foot. What was odd here, of course, is I have seen it before, but generally you don't. I still can't really figure why the effects of Founder, the feeling of, you know, the pain of Founder has come back on it. Although I have, I think, seen it before. And sometimes you can correct it by putting a bar through it where you shoe come around and you've got a bar across the back side of it. They want to keep weight that seems off of that toe because of that coffin on it, and also because of that extra growth of the supporting tissue, the lamina. Now, out here, well, on these horses, where it occurs, that'll grow out. Then, as it grows out, the normal angle usually starts coming down. Now, I never get completely normal. I don't think I've ever seen one that was completely normal. But most every horse I ever do, I can tell that they've been had some Founder at some time or other. Maybe it's very minor, but you can see where there's been a little inflammation in there at one time. Almost every horse. it really never showed up, but there has been.
You say it's the real that can take it, you know, it could be a month or so for this.
Very possibly, and it could even, I have seen Johnny Kirkendall have one that went for a long time. Then the shot is there, but he, for a long time, until that area, as I say, until that new growth came in on top. But when it did happen, the old Palomino horse again. Well, he looked real good after just that time it got all grown out and all that supporting that tissue that had been inflamed and produced that big growth. And that got out there, well, he came on real well.
But he does real well with the
bill
out in the back, you know, still shot and down.
Which, there again, I can say a few lines. Easier. She acts, I think, sore than she really is.
That's because she's missing.
Well, maybe I had a little horse one time when you stepped out the ranch. I guarantee you'd get on and you wouldn't ride in 5 minutes. And he'd pull up with his eyes and he'd just about kill him. I mean, he'd just shaking. Old legs, he just couldn't hardly move it. And I've done this more than once. No horse named Biddy. Pretty little thing. You pull that saddle off and turn him loose and he was gone. And I never saw that horse lame the first time just running through. But you throw a saddle on him and you won't ride a half mile what he was just so lame down the back on that one leg that he couldn't stand it. And just as quick as you yank that saddle off and let him go, boy, he just lit out of there. I still maintain this day there was never anything wrong with that horse. He had found a way to get somebody off of his back. But he could put on an act to the point that you just, even though you knew darn good and well there wasn't nothing wrong, you just couldn't keep going. You had to quit.
Well,
and there was no, as I say, when you find one, it gets so sore, and within 30 seconds, I say just long enough to yank that saddle off of it, he's gone like a flash and running and kicking up. Nuh-uh, something's wrong. That horse has figured that out somehow.
Well, she's wrong, you know, when she's wrong. She's gambling. What do you think she ought to do with that?
Yeah, I guess. I think the best thing right at this point is let it go for, let's say, about 2 more weeks. And if she hasn't improved any, or if she gets any worse in that time, call me, we'll try a bar shoot. And see if that'll work good. The only other thing is that thing that I showed you where that line is around there. if that gets thrown out, and it's very possible that if that thing goes out and your anger really become more acute towards if it gets thrown out close forward to it, it may cause more discomfort at that time. A bar shoe would be, I think, the next thing I would try.
Clientele we get.
Yeah. I had a couple up there. I don't know. I don't remember what people told me about them.
You don't do
I've heard of two recently.
You don't do much trading?
No. I can't take anything out of my house now. A friend of mine's got one of those and do something to do about that. Yeah.
You can't take any out of your house.
No, I've got two out there that have come back with positive smoke fever tests.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Adjusted health being pretty thick. I put them on diet now to just keep that.
Yeah.
And they got smoke fever. Well, I was going to suggest that you just might.
And I've started taking some that way, but I just don't want to take anybody's hope out there. The chances of passing it at this point are pretty slim. But if you get into mosquito season, it's possible. I mean, they're off to themselves. But I know that night before last I got during the night in the barn. I know some mosquitoes around that. And I would like to go in and try and attempt to cure those things. There is a cure. It's not highly effective, and it may kill them, and it may cure them. It's going to take a while. It's very expensive. And yet, I would like to do it just to find out, to learn. An awful lot. I love to experiment with stuff. It has been used and it has done the job, but it was only affecting about point. I've got two choices. I've either got to put them down, go ahead and kill them, or attempt to kill.
Well, you just start to be afraid with any other horses that have.
Well, it bothers me. I've got four others that are all good, and I don't know. I would like to attempt to cure on these because they are in such good shape. They're just fat and shiny as they can be, and I think there's a good chance that we could affect the cure on them. Now, if they were in poor shape, I'd say no, the chances are that we'd probably kill them. Although there again, I've after talking to Neil and discussing with Neil up there at the university, I think there's some things I'd like to try. At the same time, the horses go off the feed very bad, and the digestive processes aren't in the best state evidently because you put stuff into their stomach twice a day for 15 to 20 days. And it seems to kill their appetite and everything else. But if you have a horse that's already in pretty poor condition, maybe this stuff has got to him and affecting him. And I say my horse is not affecting at all physically. It just happens to be there. And they can pass possibly. More likely they can. Occasionally they have found them that tested out, but they could not pass it. They transfuse 5 quarts of blood into other horses, or into one other horse, and the horse never had it. But the test shows that this one was carrying.
Mm-hmm.
Now, actually, the test does not show that a horse has small fever. It does not show the small fever virus. What it shows is the antigen against that virus. So if we can cause, this is what you do when you give a vaccination. You build up an antigen in your system against the virus so that this virus that they're vaccinating you with is killed, and you have this than antigens to kill any other virus that you might come in contact with. Well, the trouble with swamp fever is that if the virus itself is destroyed from the body, then the antigen dissipates out very soon thereafter. So if you've got the antigen, you figure you've got the virus in there. But they have found one case in which the horse had the antigen but could not transmit swamp fever. He was immune. He was naturally immune and had none of the disease that could not transmit. That was all he was just immune. Now the rest of them they find have the disease, but it's and consequently have the antigen, have the virus, and also have the antigen. But can transmit it. Can transmit the disease. But this only happened in 1 out of 15 cases. So I like to take these horses where they do go off the feed. Maybe it's just the digestive process. And as they go off the feed during the treatment period and are starting to go down, then hit them with feed them IV. Go ahead and maybe once a day shoot for a quarter or two of glucose or something straight into the vein. If they can't eat it, then go ahead and get it to them. If they can get over this period and you destroy the virus, they'll get their appetite back and they'll go on. In fact, he talked about one horse that the girl had there that they could not destroy the virus. They kept getting positive tests even after treatment, but the horse's digestive system, it threw him off his feed somewhat, made him a little sick, but not bad. Now, I say some horses don't seem to, the treatment doesn't seem to affect him much the other. But that after the treatment, she had to cut the horse's feed in half to keep the same level of body condition that she had before. So that it did do a lot of good. When he came back on feed, he was ready to eat so much. But not only his appetite was back even better, but that he utilized, his system utilized the feed in such a way that she had to cut it way down. Or he had just gotten out of hand, got too bad. And she was working for it. And he said that it does have some other beneficial side effects, but they never could get the horse to turn out negative. He still did this day, I guess, a positive reaction.
How often do you run into that?
Well, it's hard to say because most people don't want to test the horse unless for some reason. There's no law requiring the testing unless there are laws or rules, well, laws, I guess, governing horse shows that says if you're putting on a horse show, then you have got to have health taken on the horse that's coming there, and you've got to have a cognitive test within the previous 6 months. Now, I'm trying to change that to 1 year. I'm not trying to eliminate the disease. There's people out there that can't. They don't know enough about it to eliminate it. They're trying to control it. That's right. Now, if the horse leaves the state or comes into the state, if the horse goes to a show, or if it goes to a sale. But other than that, there's no requirements for testing. So we don't really know. But they have been surprised, very surprised at how many horses they're finding with it. That nobody ever knew there was anything wrong with, like my two. Good, fat, yeah. But I can't. Well, I could have, but now the federal people know about it, and I can't take them off the place. I've either got to destroy them or maybe try a treatment through the university. I can't get the drug. The drug costs about $16, $18 a kilo. It's going to take about 4 kilos to treat it. And that's going to run up to $75. And then I'll have to, if I were going to do it, and it's the only way I would do it, regardless of whether I had to or not, I would have the vet install a temporary tube, in other words, suture, in the nose. All the tube stayed in there. Because you've got the tube twice a day, 20 days. That's 40 times that tube running in and out. And it's going to make them bad enough as it is. Whereas if you install that thing, they'll get you, it's just like a drainage tube in a person or something like that. You know. if you just put it in there and leave it there, then each time all you have to do is inject the drug through the tube. And you don't have the fight, you don't have the falling of the horse, you don't have the irritation and the falling of the, you want to break some of these small capillary blood vessels in the nose and the throat and time you run that tube back and forth. And it's easy to try to do it, you want to get some of that. So, I'd love to try to work a meal. I don't know when I'm going to have one to be able to do it. I'm going to have to hire a vet to come out and put the tube in, install the tube.
Have you just found out about it?
Just recently. But I would really like, in fact, to me, there's a very lucrative situation there where if I could affect a cure on both of my horses and let it be known that I have been able to cure these things, there's a lot of those thoroughbreds down there. I mean, at the cost of, you could put a $2,500 price tag on curing them, and those people would be glad to pay it in many cases.
They did.
Plus, the fact that then they would test because they've got a chance to cure the horse if he has it. Now they don't want to. They know a lot of those horses have it, but they're not going to take a chance on the test. They might turn up with a $10,000 horse or a $20,000, $30,000 horse who's got it.
And they run the horse?
No way. Not if they know it. Not if he's come back to the party. I mean, physically they could run him, but they won't allow him off that farm that he's on. If a person even had a place that he could go into quarantine where he had a 200-yard zone all the way around him, that there would be no other horses in that zone, and go into the center of it and board and take these horses, they could be right well there, too. You can go ahead and breed them, and it doesn't mean the foal's going to come up with it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's something. I just wondered how long they haven't known about it
even
for very long.
Oh, yeah.
Have they?
First horse I've owned. But you see, the test wasn't very good back then. And all they could say, we think they've got it.
What's
the symptom? Well, in horse like mine, there is no symptom. It's there, but it doesn't affect them physically.
Uh-huh.
Then later on, it may live all their life that way. Live a normal 30, 40 years, possibly. Say 20 years, that's probably more normal. And have it the whole life. And on the other hand, they say that they feel that the thing may not show up until the horse gets in a stress situation. A mare that's having a foal, something like that. Working real hard. Not being fed very well, going down. But the horse goes off his feed, and acts just kind of dopey. And it kind of affects them in a number of ways. Some of them seem to pick it up in 3 weeks, they've gone. Still in a 3 week time. Others seem to get it. And they get down, they get a little better. They go down a little better, go down a little better. But each time they go down a little farther and don't come back as high. Or maybe go down and then they seem to hold at a point rather than even coming back up at all. I mean, most people, if a horse is going down and he gets to a point and stops, you tend to think, well, he's getting better. Which I don't. They say that they come back, but I tend to think that there are a few of them actually come back. They just quit going downhill, but then it just gets progressively lower and kind of get real slow. But there's no vaccination in that. They figure that 200 yards is the point in this. They can't be carried over by 200 yards. And the reason they use that, it may be less than that. But out in Texas, they've got two bands of horses 200 yards apart. One of them, every one of them has it. The other one, nothing has it. And they've been that way for 4, 5, 6 years now. And nothing's ever been carried from one to the other.
Hmm.
And they're 200 yards apart. So that's what they're using as a standard right now. A 200 yard quarantine.
Well, Bob, you run into don't mean fanciful, you don't want anything dangerous.
I'm just thinking about a little horse the other day.
Pretty well broken, I don't want any bad things playing coming in.
Actually, I see a horse market, you got two of you here, I sold one. And I guess I should sold her 50 cents. And I thought I had a fair price on her. I mean, it wasn't real high, but then again, I thought it was a person was paying a reasonable price for the horse. I wasn't giving it away. And yet I wasn't charging too much. I mean, myself, I wouldn't have even paid that price for it. Then I'm a horse dealer, trader, blacksmith, really. But if I'm going to buy one, just like horse I got there now, I feel like it's worth about $2,500. I gave $400 for it. I wouldn't give $2,500 for it, and yet I feel that's about what she's worth. That's the way I buy it. I mean, see, if anything else, almost anything else I do, I buy it real cheap. If I need something, I'll pay whatever rate it is. But if I don't really need it, then they got to make it real cheap for me to go ahead and buy it. This horse, I tried to get everybody else to buy it. The stud fee for it was $500. I bought one from 5 years old, didn't get $400 for. And I know one place where I could go get $1,000 right now. The man doesn't even have to look at it, he's getting $1,000 bill for. And I feel like she was about $2,500, if I'm on comparison. Actually, I see a lot of horses that's not as good as she is, and selling a lot more than that. Somebody like, you know, some big name is selling them. They probably get $10,000 out of that horse. Well, I tell you, the first one came out, bought it. And I was bugged by a call for about 10 days.
Was that right?
And I looked around, people asked me about horse, and I looked around now, and the horse was market high. And there's not many of them for sale. There's very few horses for sale right now in the state of Missouri. Occasionally, you might hit a weekend where there's three or four. And the ones that are for sale are the real fancy horses, which the average person's not going to buy anyway.
Why did you run into this one?
Not a friend of mine had. In fact, I was living on it. No, I moved on that place. Not way back. He wasn't doing anything. They're just running out there at pasture. I don't know. I bet he's got $700-$800 in it all together. You know, feed and what have you. And he bought it as a baby.
Oh, did he?
He just went. Went sold out the rest of them, but he didn't have anything else out there. I wanted it all. If he'd give it to me, I'd take him to some auction or something and sold him, because I didn't want it.
Well,
I tried to get a lot of people to buy this, Mary. Nobody, oh, well. You know, that's the funny thing. You try to give something away, nobody wants it.
That's right.
Now, I'll tell you, if I was going to sell that, Mary, if I decided I wanted to, I'd put a $5,000 price tag. I wouldn't put a $500 price tag on it. Except that, you know, all I have to do is make some breeding. A couple of people, if I put $500, they'd probably run down the street. But normally, if I put $500 on it, nobody'd want it. There's something wrong.
Because you've got to be.
Well, I put $5,000. Remind me of a girl over here in Arkansas telling me a friend of hers had one. I don't remember details on the horse, but she put it in the house. I think that blew the horse. She put it in paper for something like $300. And she'd take $250 for it. And the girl told her, she said, now you ought to back off and leave it out of the paper for a couple of weeks and then put it back in and buy $1,000. But she didn't have any luck. Nobody came to look at it or called about it or anything for $300. Put it back in for $1,000 and make it sold the next day.
Yeah.
Now you figure people out. I can't.
What happened to Miss Helton? She's selling the horses.
I haven't talked to her now some time. I guess she is. I was sitting looking around at the man, talking about the man. So he wouldn't go well on this ranch. And none of it's moving, but the price is high. But none of it's selling. I don't know. At least I've been hunting. talking about going 150 acres, I'm gonna pay that kind of money for what I'd end up with little piece of it myself. Got that 150 acres, got about 3/4 of a mile of state road frontage, and then 1/4 of a mile of county grade frontage. And some of it's all clearing and pasture, and some of it's my fence and my head, and some of it's just rough. $2,000 maybe, up here, out west of Macon. Well, no, it doesn't, but I'll tell you this, none of it's new. It doesn't, I know the number.
But Bobby's got the high, nobody.
Well, and the people are a little bit afraid to put money in it, huh? Interest rates are so high, and just like this stuff, it's got to be all cash. And boy, he won't do it, he will not do it. Although I think that if it were actually out tonight, I'm saying about 7.50, 3 years, I think. I've been on that thing 3 years, and keep that. Well, I could, the only way I'm gonna be able to do anything is, if I could find somebody to buy 150, then I could keep it looking for it. Yeah, always buy ahead, I'd do that.
That's the way
I look at it.
Never know, I might go get tired of it.
Well, let me see. Oh, boy.
Water and more water.
Take a look. Can you see?
What did they say about a septic tank from that?
I'm not going to. I didn't tell them anything about the trailer.
Oh. Well, this is just for a heavier entrance in the house.
Yeah. And then after that, if we want to, we can run a line down there. Now, how are you going to get your license up there?
Well, I'll have to go up and get one.
Well, now, you know what he said? What
did he say?
He said Alachua County didn't require a license.
Did I? Alachua County don't require it?
Yeah.
Well, hell, if he told you that, we'd just go ahead and put it in and say nothing.
Just go ahead and put it in and say nothing. But then when you get it in, he got to come down and inspect it with a Florida Power man.
Yeah. Now he'll come down and inspect it and leave a green ticket on there, and then the power fella will hook it up.
Yeah.
I heard him say you didn't have to have a license.
You did hear him say so.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jesus, I said,
you didn't expect that, did you?
No, I took it for
being okay when he said that.
Yeah. Now, you going to pick up the box?
Yeah.
Well, now, we've got some people coming on Monday, Mr. Eastman. And going to let them stay down there.
Well, I'll see what I can do.
Okay.
To get it hooked up. Because I can hook it right back up, you know. You ain't going to be without service.
Yeah. Yeah. I want you to tell, before you go, I want you to tell Faye about Johnny Palmer.
What about him, Miss Eve?
Come over last night when it was raining so hard and the wind was blowing, and geez, and on that crossroad from Martin over to Anthony. The cow run out in the road. And John slapped on his brakes and tried to avoid hitting the cow. And he throwed the truck around the road on that wet road, you know, and he hit the side of the road, and that was slipperier yet. And he went, spun right around, went right over and took a 20-25 fence post right out of the fence. Come back into the road and went on the other side and took as many more on the other side out. Jesus, and it caught right in something. It looked to me just as though that he must have hit an awful big fence post or else a stump or something there. Because it hit right into the car door, and it punched the door in, and where the handle goes on there, the handle was busted and punched right in, and come back, and it took the running board. See, his truck there isn't like mine. It ain't got the double box on. He's got the single box and the fender stick out and got the running board on there. And it tipped the running board right up against the, and come right back and took that back fender and laid it right down in on the tire.
Why, Miss Eastman?
Now, I'm telling you, that's something.
Oh,
now he's on the way home.
Yeah. I said to him, I said, what the hell did you drink before you started for home? Now, Artie, he says,
That was last.
Now, that's not the whole story.
What else happened to him?
He got pinched.
Well, he's been pinched 3 times in 2 days. Oh, this was a week before. He got pinched 3 times in 2 days for driving 62 miles an hour.
Why, Mr. Eastman?
John says, can you beat it, Artie? He says, 62 miles an hour all 3 times. 62 miles an hour all 3 times, he said. But you get right out on the road today, and if you keep up with the traffic, you're going to drive 70.
Just about.
I know. I come up from Ocala yesterday, and there was a lot of cars on the road. And after about 25 passed me, and they was all right in the road, right down through ahead of me, I started keeping up with them. They were driving 70 right straight along.
And the patrolman just can't give 70
tickets. Oh, devil, you couldn't stop them.
Well, I like the 55 mile an hour. I think it's safer.
Well, you don't want everybody to pass you, Mr. Eastman.
I don't think it's a bit safer than 70.
Don't you?
Not one bit.
Let me tell you, Mr. Eastman, do you know you was talking about them that barge canal and the fishing up there at that lake?
Yeah.
I forget what they call it.
Akawaha Lake.
Yeah. Well, you know, somebody told me that that fishing wouldn't last long.
Why?
Well, as soon as they get them barges to running, there won't be any lake there.
Yes, there will. Hell, there'll always be a lake there. no matter how many barges go through.
Well, the barge can't go over the dam.
Well, it ain't that. The water is supposed, they go around the dam there, you know. They dammed it up to supply water for the locks. See, there's a lock out there that, what the hell do they call that? It's right out there on Route 19.
You've been up there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, now that's what somebody told me, and that's just what you can hear, isn't it?
By God, I'm right, just plumb 5 o'clock.
Okay, I hit it right. I put it.
Oh, I am too.
Right on time. Woo! Say that again. Miss Eastman, you know all this, I never saw anybody do this before.
I never did either.
No, you know, I used to do a little of that, help do it, you see, but that was way back, you see, when they used just a little bitty wire.
Yeah.
Didn't have all those. Hell, that, if I'd seen a big wire like that, I'd call it a cable and I'd run the other way.
I put in some of that 250,000th wire down there in the National Hood down there. That goddamn stuff, you know, is about that big around.
I bet.
Got that big around?
Big as an apple.
My goodness.
Huh?
Woo!
What'd they do with that?
Well, we run a big electric welder with it.
Good Lord.
Yeah, it's just about as big around as the bottom of that.
A wire that
big? Yeah. Yeah. I'll show you a little piece of it.
Yeah, that's it. He loves it. Not to look for it. He got to turn over a few things and move a few things in that van of his.
But he can put his hand pretty well on it.
Yeah.
That's more than I can do.
Yeah. Well, I noticed he got so many tools on those sides. Shelves.
Yeah.
That. He has to stir around in there considerably to get what he wants.
I had no idea he carried all this stuff with him.
Good Lord. Good Lord. That's heavy, too. God almighty, Faith.
Oh, Mr. Eastman.
Now, they don't call that number 10 wire or something like that. That's
250,000 circular mills.
Well, that's too big a word.
And they make one size bigger than that. It's 500,000.
That'd really fix you, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Woo!
If you take that, the only way you can bend that is take, if you want to make a fairly short bend on it, you take a piece of inch water pipe.
Yeah.
And stick right over it, and then get right onto it.
Yeah. Well, something got to hold it. Yeah. And you'd use that for a big, what'd you say?
Welding.
That welding takes the right amount of current, don't it? Is that about as, take about as much as anything you know of?
Yeah. And you take up home, I used to put that size wire in for entrance in the milk plants and the big feed mills.
Oh.
Way back when you was up there. That's been a good while, Miss Beeson. Yeah. Gee whiz.
Back around 1940.
Yeah. Well, that's another world back there.
Yeah. And you've just worked in electricity a long time.
It was 52 years, the 22nd of March, that I helped the fellow wire the house the first time.
The 22nd of March.
52 years.
Yeah.
That's 2 and 22?
Yeah.
22. Well, what do you know? You hadn't been out of school long.
And you just took to it. It didn't ever bother you. You like it.
Oh, I've been knocked end over end with it.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
What's the worst time you've been knocked?
Why, the fella put in an ice cream machine there in town, and instead of putting the white wire for the ground wire, he put the black wire. And I thought that I was cutting the ground wire, you know, and I put on to it with a pair of pliers without any insulation on it. Jesus, man. I got shook, and the weight on me broke the wire in two, and when the wire broke in two, well, then it let go of me.
Oh. You mean you was up off the ground? Well, that's a good thing. It just knocked you off the ladder?
Why, I was up on a little kind of a sawhorse like that. See, and I was standing on that.
And so it knocked you off the sawhorse and broke the wire?
Yeah.
Well, how long can you stand that current, Miss Eason?
Not too long.
Well, how'd you feel afterwards?
Well, I was kind of shaky for a day or two.
Mr. Eastman, I can't even touch one of these electric wires that you keep cattle out of without being shaky for a day or two.
But you didn't you didn't quit work, you just went on.
Kept on, yeah. I got knocked probably 15, 20 feet one time with a goddamn electric fencer. I went up and I put my hand on the damn wire, you know. I didn't feel nothing, see, it was off, and so I started to get through that fence, and the fella had, there were two strands of it, see, one for cows and one for pigs. Well, I pushed that damn wire down there, and I started to get through there, and I guess that my back just hit that upper one. By God, I'm telling you, that I went to the other, I was halfway through the fence, and I went through the last half of flying.
Yeah, that could electrocute you, couldn't it?
Yeah. There was a fellow up there. His neighbor had a bunch of hogs. And the hogs kept coming over on him and rooting everything up. And he told the neighbor he was going to shoot them and all this and that. And the neighbor just kind of laughed about it. And by gee, he strung that damn wire down through there and he hooked it right on the live current. Goddamn pigs started crawling under there, and there were two of them that didn't go. They just stayed right halfway, right under it there, deader than the devil.
Yeah.
And then they got into law, and they had a lawsuit, and all that hell of a time.
But that stopped the pigs going
God
through.
Damn right that stopped the pigs from going through there.
Well.
See, that is quite a little bit bigger, isn't it?
But, Mr. Eastman, when you're working with electricity, you have to keep your mind on your business, don't you?
Yeah, you're darn right you do.
You can't just be talking all the time.
No.
talking don't bother you, mister.
Oh, not too much, I guess. I generally keep my mind on what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You do? Well, I don't know. Miss Eastman, you do a little different from what I was always used to. When you talk, you just keep on working. Well, the people I used to know, whenever they start to talk, you see, they just kind of hold it and work in the hand.
Stop right and talk and stop right working, huh?
That's right. Go ahead and tell the story and then go ahead with what they're doing. You see, they didn't lose much time. That is, you see, there's plenty of time anyhow. I mean, you know, they weren't in a hurry.
Oh, boy. But have you got the wire to take it out, Johnny, to the trailer?
No, I haven't. I'd better go out and see about how much we got to have for that, too.
Well, you stepped it off once.
Jeez, what did I say? 160 feet.
That's what you said.
You all better step it off together. And how big are the wires?
Number four. That's a long way. I'm gonna get a sign and put up in it for sale. Cause I don't want that damn thing out there.
What'd you buy it for?
Well, it's a mistake, Miss Eastman.
That's a mistake.
Yes. I thought I was getting a little bitty fella. You see, it was sitting up there, way in the back, and all you could see around there was them 12-foot ones, 72 foot long. See, this didn't look like any size at all.
Doesn't look like a baby size at all, other one.
Yeah.
Well, I thought so too, Miss Eastman. Yeah. I didn't know this thing was that big.
And we got up here, and I saw that thing, and I knew what had happened. I started once just telling him to take it back. And then I was sort of ashamed, you see.
Well, I think after you've had it a little while, you'll like it.
Well, I don't need it. What do I want it for, Miss Eastman?
Huh? Why, you'll have these television down in there, and you'll be spending half of your time down in there.
Oh, I don't want to. I don't want to.
Come
in, Mamma.
Howdy.
I don't want to. I don't. shoot fire. I tell you, I think Ms. Eastman gets her money's worth out of that television bird.
Oh, yeah, she watches that thing from morning till night.
Uh-huh.
Well, now, she puts her time in, don't she? Well, now, you see, when we went down there, I was going to step up at the back door and speak to her, but the back door was closed, and I figured she didn't want to be disturbed.
Have you lost a blue cap?
Have I lost a blue cap?
Uh-huh. No. Blue cap in my car. Very much like that.
Oh, just give it to him.
Okay.
I have a hard time finding caps. Small enough.
Uh-huh.
Oh, really?
See, I get the 6 3/4.
Yeah. Well, I have a hard time getting them big enough.
Yeah.
That's because I don't cut my hair, you know. There's a lot of difference just the hair, Miss Eastman.
And you sure like the mullet. So what's the mullet? That's a wire.
A wire?
Uh-huh.
A wire?
Uh-huh. You use for welding.
And they don't make one big wire. They put a lot of little wires together.
See?
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, one big wire and you can't bend it very good.
And they put a lot of little ones together and make this big wire.
Yeah.
Like what do you use it for?
Welding.
Mm-hmm.
I just never had seen any that big.
Lord, I never ever either.
PVC. PC3.
When I sold out up north, I had a piece about 100 feet long of that.
Oh.
God, the only place I could sell it was in the junkyard.
Oh.
And I didn't get too much for it down there, and if I had it now,
ooh,
well, that stuff there is worth about $4 a foot.
And you had 100 yards?
Had 100 feet of it.
100 feet. Yeah.
I never saw any line there. Welding, you use it for welding.
Yeah.
Ms. Eastman, what's the trickiest part of putting that service in?
The trickiest part?
Looked to me like what you was doing down there on the floor.
Yeah, well, that's quite a lot of it.
You didn't have any trouble with anything else.
Now tell me again what that white pipe was for. Protection?
Yeah.
That's down where your people touch it.
That protects it from getting jammed, you know.
And you've got a piece of white all the way to the ground?
Two of them, and then the big one there comes down part where the elbow one comes in.
It's got an elbow one comes in. It's even what do the inspectors sort of look for?
Oh, a little of everything.
Well, he didn't stay but 2 minutes. He must have thought you was a fine electrician.
He says that's what makes a good job.
Oh?
Putting them protection down underneath there.
Now, you didn't know the one from Gainesville.
I never saw him before.
But you knew that you'd seen this other one.
Yeah.
Well,
this fella comes from the power company. His name is Wilson.
Yeah. He knew you.
Either he did, or I'd played around with him a lot.
Oh, you have?
God, yes. He lives over just this side of Fairfield. On what he calls the Shoestring Ranch.
Oh.
He got a sign out in front of his house there, so the Shoestring Ranch.
Yeah.
And you've done some work for him?
Huh?
You've done some work for him?
No, but he and I get together every once in a while on some electric job. Just like today. Now, if I'd known that he was going to come for sure, I'd have let him hook that on up on the top, see? But he was tickled to think I had it hooked on.
Oh, that's what they do.
Yeah.
They do that.
Yeah.
Well,
and he had to get that green ticket there that shows it passed inspection.
Yeah.
Is Eastman, I thought this is something that'd take a week or two to do. I never dreamed anybody'd come right out from Gainesville and look at it today.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Because they know that you might be without electricity.
Well, I was always taught never to leave them without electricity, no matter what they were. I was up to the power company one time. I used to work for the power company there quite a lot. And I was in there one day, and there was a fella had put in a new service because he'd sold him a milk cooler. And he was after the power company to come up there and get it hooked on so that they'd get that milk cooler running and their milk machine and stuff that night. And they said that they didn't have a man available. Well, I said, good God Almighty, hook it up. He looked down at me and said, Jesus, he said, dare you hook it up? God, I said, I've hooked up a lot of them. And this Art Carson, the fellow in the in the electric part there. He says, Jesus, he says, that fellow'll do anything. Well, I said, I was always told never to leave him without electricity. Well, Jesus, this fellow says I'd ask him to hook it up.
He hadn't been told that, huh?
No, he hadn't been told that. I don't know how he did make out, whether he went and hooked it on or whether he didn't. I don't know. I didn't.
That was his job, huh?
I thought maybe he'd be asking me to go and do it, but I didn't. I didn't offer to.
Would you have done it?
Well, God, if he'd paid me enough.
Well, you can't afford to leave people without electricity. All your stuff will ruin. And
Jesus, I hooked a fella on one time right in the pouring rain. By Jesus, boy, you'd get your fingers tickled, I'll tell you. Well, I got it hooked on. I got them hooked on. I left them all bare. And I went back the next day and taped them up.
Mr. Eastman, don't you be silly.
Jesus. Yeah, but the government, you know, they had to have electricity.
Well, I don't know. You can get along with it without it for a while.
Don't you take chances?
Well, they'd had a big windstorm, see, and he blowed a tree down, and took the service right off the house and smashed it all up, so that it couldn't be repaired. You got to have a new one put on. So I put this new one on. And
that's what I'm afraid of, old big trees. We got one at home.
The power company come and run a new line from the pole into the house, and it started in pouring right down. The fellow says, I'm getting out of here. I said, Jesus, you want to hook this on? He says, to hell with it.
So you went out and hooked it on?
I stayed there and hooked it on so they had electricity. I've got tickled with it quite a lot, but
well, you know to be careful with what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mr. Eastman, let me tell you. You know, I wouldn't even get in throwing distance of it.
Yeah.
No, I'd get all I'd get as far out there way it couldn't hit me. Now that's the way I feel about it.
Me too. And here we depend on it for everything.
Why, it just scares me to think about that stuff.
Now, if you knock the electricity out of the nation, you're done.
Uh-huh.
You wouldn't have no lights and no heat, no cooking, no nothing.
And you couldn't read.
No water.
You know that little boy that came over here? He is sitting right there when you came in that day. Well, he lives over there in the middle of a cow pasture. Over there to a shallow. There's an old empty house over there. And he's learning to carpenter and things like that.
Does he live alone?
Yeah, I don't know. He did for a while. He may have somebody with him now. I'm not sure. But anyhow, he's dickering with the power company to run it long ways over there. Long ways over there. I forget what I was going to say about him. talking about taking chances.
Yeah, and talking about how you couldn't do without electricity.
Yeah, I couldn't do it without electricity.
Well, he'd ought to get one of these little generators.
Yes. Well, now, he wants to run power tools, though. Do you still do that?
Well, but geez, you can buy a generator big enough to run your power tools.
Yeah. Would that be some expense?
Well, I don't know just what one of them do cost. Probably, I think, around $250.
Yeah, and then you got to have a gasoline motor to run it with.
Yeah, well, that's it comes all right in the unit.
Yeah. Yeah.
My son-in-law had one down there. Before they got the lights hooked up, I don't know whether he bought it or whether he borrowed it. But you see, when they moved their trailer out of Bellevue down to Summerfield, where he is now, they didn't have the lights hooked up. And he had this deep well water pump in there, and he wanted to run that to get that cleaned out. So he got that generator, see? And they run that, and that run the water pump and stuff. Well, if you get a generator big enough to run your water pump and the like of that, it'd be big enough to run quite a lot of power to it.
Well, let me tell you, when was it we people was figuring on getting a generator to have an extra source of electricity? When was that, Faye?
Well, there's a lot of these hot, most all of the hospitals have got them.
Yeah. That's right.
Case
of emergency.
They have them. Well, they'd have to have a big one, wouldn't they?
A big one like what they'd have would cost around $5,000-$6,000.
Yeah. Well, I think maybe what I had in mind was something that would, in case you had any trouble with this, you see, and you needed some emergency power, then you'd have it. You couldn't run anything off of a tractor, could you?
Well, if you had a generator, you could.
Yeah.
You see, your tractor only generates either 6 or 12 volts.
Yeah. But you could hitch it on to the power takeoff or a bell or something.
Yeah.
And really do it. I wish I knew a little about that. I might... You wouldn't want to do it as a regular thing, but I mean for emergency.
You'd rather do electrical things than carpenter, hadn't you?
Oh, I'll tell you, I like them all.
He likes
and,
them all.
And by doing the way I do,
you don't get tired.
You don't get so monotonous.
Yeah. So you did this all the time.
You do one thing one day and something else the next. Now I've got a electric water heater to put in tomorrow in a trailer, and that's a devil of a job.
You can't get to it.
No.
You gotta put these wires in first, though.
Yeah.
I come first, Missy.
You want them in to put in tomorrow?
No.
Geez, I'll have to look and see what I can get about. I don't think I got number 4 wire enough. I'll look and see. I'll have to get a couple of poles.
Yeah.
Did you get a pathway chopped through down there?
No.
Or wasn't that what you were working on?
No.
Oh. I thought that's what you were doing when you went down there with an axe. I thought you were going to chop it.
No, I got that camouflaged.
Oh.
Nobody, you know, it takes pretty good eye to see it.
Yeah.
You'd have to just be looking for it.
That was the reason you had it so camouflaged back in there. I thought maybe you had your eye on some other woman somewhere.
I have two on the same plane.
That's all took care of out there.
So you just need it down to the okay.
Your barn and that other's all hooked on that new line.
Yeah.
Oh, and the trailer out yonder?
Yeah.
My goodness.
That's the same as what I
don't
have.
Yeah.
Except that you here.
All right.
I didn't pull that wire out of the wall out there yet because it'll have to have a board put out of there, I think.
All right. Well, we just cut it off and leave it.
Because it goes,
asking.
There and then out.
Ask him if he has that little thing on the gas. Have you got that little piece on the gas, Mr.?
Have you got that little thing for the gas?
Yes, yeah, that's right. Yeah, tell him to take it with him, will you?
Now that is the last little visit with Mr. Eastman at 5 o'clock this same Thursday, the 9th of May, 74. We had a little parting visit in orange juice at 5 o'clock this Thursday, the 9th of May, 74.